Well, good morning, church family, and thank you for tuning in with our online service this morning. If you have your Bibles, let's go to John chapter 5. We're going to continue our series in the Gospel of John, and John chapter 5. As you're turning there, I want to ask you a question. Who in our society offends you the most? Is it not the robbers, the killers, the rapists, the child molesters? Now I want you to think about Jesus. Who is it that offends Jesus the most? If you have been a student of the Bible and you've studied the Gospels, you're going to realize that the answer to that question is different in Jesus' day. They taught in the temple. They taught in the synagogues. So why the Pharisees? Well, the answer is, though they were the teachers of the law of God, they did not represent the heart of God. Between the time that God gave the law back in the Old Testament to Moses on Mount Sinai until the time that Jesus came, the religious leaders of Israel had distorted and added to the law so that it came to be viewed as a way to become righteous before God. They had added hundreds of rules and regulations of do's and don'ts, which woefully neglected the issues of the heart. You know, God wants a personal relationship with us. He wants us to know Him and to love Him with all of our heart and mind and soul. I like what Hosea said in chapter 6 and verse 6. He said, this is what God said through the prophet, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." And you know, that speaks to the Pharisees, and it speaks to people today who just come to church just because it's their duty to do it. It's just ritualistic to them, bringing their offerings and sacrificing. Here we find that God speaks to the prophet, and he says that God desires mercy and the knowledge of God more. There's another passage in Matthew 15. Jesus said in verses 7 through 9 concerning the Pharisees, concerning the religious leaders of Israel. He said, "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honored me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." You know, I read these verses to you to prepare you for the text that we're going to be reading here in just a moment, beginning in verse 9. As we study these religious leaders, we need to realize what it was like in Jesus' day. How that they would draw nigh to God with their mouth, but their hearts were far from God. They were honoring Him with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. They were worshiping God in vain. They were teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. And that's exactly what the Pharisees and religious leaders of Jesus' day were doing. They were teaching the doctrines of men rather than the doctrine of God. They were more concerned with obeying the letter of the law rather than the spirit of the law. The result was that it made them hypocrites and heartless legalists. These religious leaders used their authority to spiritually abuse the people under their care through guilt, manipulation, fear, and shame. I want to just take a moment to define a couple of words. The word legalism. It is looking to your own efforts to gain the acceptance of the Lord. It is often used to a people that seek by their own efforts, their own works, to gain or earn salvation from God. It is the misuse of the law, resulting in a wrong way of trying to appear right before God. Legalists are more concerned about their own rules than they are about God's law. They are also more concerned about their own rules than they are about people. And that's why I read Hosea 6, verse 6, that God said, I desired mercy, not sacrifice. You see, these Pharisees, they had their own man-made traditions and man-made rules and regulations that they added to the law of God, that they added to the Sabbath law. And these rules and regulations made them hypocrites because they did not even keep all of them themselves. And they became heartless legalists. They were hoping by their own efforts to gain acceptance before God. And they became more concerned about their man-made rules than they did about the law of God itself. They cared more about their man-made rules than they did about the people that God had called them to serve. In legalism, the resource is self-effort, and the motive is self-promotion. It results in pride and approaching God on the basis of your performance. But I want to contrast legalism with biblical obedience. You know, when you preach on legalism, sometimes people think that you're swinging the pendulum all the way to the other side of licentiousness and license to sin. But that's not what Jesus taught, and that's not what I'm teaching. But I want to just share with you that biblical obedience, the resource is the Holy Spirit, and the motive is the glory of God. Now, I want you to think about that. It's in contrast to legalism, because legalism, the resource is self-effort, and the motive is self-promotion. So biblical obedience, the resource is the Holy Spirit, the motive is the glory of God. It results in humility and approaching God on the basis of Christ's performance. You see, in legalism, it results in pride and approaching God on the basis of your own performance. And so you can see the difference between legalism and biblical obedience. Biblical obedience is conforming to God's righteous standard while being transformed inwardly to the character of Christ through the enabling grace of God. You see, there's a huge difference between these two, biblical obedience and legalism. And I want to just say, sadly, that legalism is still alive and well today, just like it was in Jesus' day. Jesus was greatly offended with legalists because of the destruction and the damnation of what they were teaching and how they enslaved others with their damnable doctrines. You know, there are billions of people today who are enslaved in man-made legalistic religions that cannot save anyone. And with sadness in my heart, I've watched many people go to church and go through the rituals of what I would call churchianity. Churchianity, not Christianity, churchianity, in hopes of being good enough to go to heaven when they die. There are so many people like this today. There are so many people in other religions that are seeking by their works to earn favor with their God. And I've also seen many Christians deeply hurt by the spiritual abuse of legalistic pastors to the point that they become bitter against God and they get out of church altogether. And so that is an introduction. I want to look in John chapter 5, and we're going to pick up in verse 9. This is where we ended last week in verse 9. It says, "And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath." And then verse 10, "The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk." You know, I thought that was kind of, I like that response because, you know, they're rebuking him for breaking their man-made Sabbath laws. And he says, well, the man that made me whole, he told me to rise up and walk and carry my bed. And you know what he's basically saying to these religious leaders? Listen, I think the man that had the power to raise me up when I was 38 years in this infirmity, I was disabled for 38 years, and Jesus raised me up, made me whole. I think he has more authority than you guys to tell me to carry my bed and walk. Well, in verse 12, they ask him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. You know, Jesus wanted this man to know that sickness was not his greatest enemy, sin was. And listen, there are always consequences to sin in our lives. So he warned this man about that. And then it says, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this precious passage of Scripture. I pray, Father, you would help us to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in these verses and His love and His compassion, but also His stand against erroneous teaching that leads to hell. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have the heart of our Savior, and Lord, that we would have compassion on the lost, but at the same time, Lord, that we would stand against false teaching, false gospels. Lord, that we would be passionate about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves. And Father, bless this preaching today of your word. Lord, you know the need of every person that's listening, those that need salvation, those that need edification, those that maybe need conviction of sin to be warned. I just pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would take your word, and Lord, that you would accomplish what you please in our hearts and lives today. And I pray in Jesus' mighty name, amen. I want you to notice in this passage that we started out in verse number 9, the last phrase. This is the key phrase in this passage that we're considering this morning. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Now, I want to go back. Remember, Jesus went to the temple, or he went to Jerusalem because it was a feast of the Jews. And there he went to this place called Bethesda. There was a pool, and that means house of mercy, and five porches around this pool. And it was filled with all kinds of impotent folk, people that were halt and withered, and people that were lame and blind, and all sorts of disabilities and sicknesses lying there. And Jesus saw this man that had been in this condition, that he had this disability for some 38 years. And Jesus healed this man and made him whole. And it says here that it happened on the Sabbath day. Now, I want you to know that this is very important. This is not accidental. The point of this miracle that Jesus does on this man is not only to show us what we learned last week, that Jesus is Lord over all of our disabilities, our physical disabilities and our spiritual disabilities, but it's also to show us that he is Lord over the Sabbath. Jesus purposely did this miracle on the Sabbath day. And he could have done it any other day. He could have done it the next day, because this man, he did not have a terminal illness. This man could have been healed 3 days later and had been okay. But Jesus chose purposely to heal this man on the Sabbath, because that is the whole point of what's happening here in our text. He chose the Sabbath for the express purpose of confronting the Jewish leaders' hypocritical legalism. You know, I want you to think about that, because this is not the only case in the gospel. There's many other passages in, like, Matthew chapter 12, verses 10 through 14, Luke chapter 6. There's a passage in Mark. And here in John, you're going to see that Jesus, on many other occasions, that he performed miracles on the Sabbath day on purpose to confront the Jewish leaders with their hypocrisy and their legalism. And so I want you to notice first, as we look at verses 9 and 10 here, I want you to see that Jesus's contempt for the Jews' indifference. I want you to notice his contempt for the Jews' indifference. And you know, you remember Jesus asked this man, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You know, Jesus had compassion on this man. And sadly, this man answered, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." You know, I want you to think about, for 38 long years, this man had no man to care for his soul. No man to lend him a hand of help. The Jewish leaders never lifted a hand to help this man. Instead, they looked down upon this man as a sinner deserving of his pitiful condition. Because that's how legalists look at people. They look down their nose at people. They consider themselves more righteous than everybody else. And they look down on others and those that are suffering and those that are you know, maybe have sin in their life, maybe suffering because of sin. They despise them and they scorn them and they avoid them. And they're heartless and indifferent. And that's the way these Pharisees were here. They were totally heartless and indifferent toward this man and his need. While Jesus saw this man through eyes of compassion and mercy and made this man whole. You know, I want you to think about these religious leaders. Surely they'd seen this man lying helplessly at the pool of Bethesda over the years. Now they see him walking around in the temple, carrying his bed. I mean, obviously, he's well. Obviously, he's been healed. You would think that they would have been rejoicing with him over this amazing miracle and giving glory to God. But all they could do was rebuke him for carrying his bed on the Sabbath and tracking down the person that told him to rise up and carry his bed. You see, these Pharisees, they were more concerned about keeping their man-made rules than they were about this man. It's so sad and pitiful. So Jesus is showing his contempt. By performing this miracle on the Sabbath day, he's showing his contempt for their indifference toward this man, even though he is a sinner. He shows his contempt for their indifference, for their heartlessness. And you know, you would think that these religious leaders would have recognized at this point that Jesus could only do these miracles by God's power. I mean, who else could raise up somebody that's 38 years in an infirmity and can't walk? So you would think that they would at least know that. And you know, when you get to chapter 9 in John, Jesus is going to heal another man on the Sabbath day, a man that was born blind. Another amazing, undeniable miracle. I mean, this is a real miracle. And they are persecuting this guy. And in verse 30, I like what this man, he tells them, these leaders, when they are reviling him. And he answers and he says, "Why, hearing is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is. And yet he had opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." I mean, he put these religious leaders in their place, but in their blindness, their religion has so blinded them that they said to him at that time, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. You know, isn't it sad here, the heartlessness of these legalists? You see, that's what legalism does to a person. It makes them indifferent toward others that are in need of salvation. It makes them not care and not have compassion, not show mercy. And you know, really, the climax of their spiritual blindness was when Jesus raised up Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. But rather than repenting and believing in Jesus, they sought to kill not only Jesus, but to kill Lazarus also. It's pretty amazing to think about. So these religious leaders, they were enslaved to their own system, which could not save them from their sins. And that was the reason that Jesus did this miracle on the Sabbath, to show his contempt for their indifference and to try to give them, to open their eyes to see their need of salvation. Now, a second thing I see here is Jesus' contempt for the Jews' destructive legalism. He had contempt for their doctrine and their teaching that they stood for. These Jewish leaders were not only enslaved to their own system, but they also sought to enslave others under them. And that's why it's destructive. It's so destructive because you see right here in this passage what they are doing to this man. They are threatening this man. They are threatening him for carrying his bed on the Sabbath day, which really, he wasn't breaking the Sabbath. And if you look at the law of God and the spirit of the law, but he was breaking their man-made interpretation of the Sabbath laws. And so they're telling him, it's a Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry your bed. So you can see that they're threatening this man. And apparently he was afraid of their threats and he wanted to put himself in good standing with them, because later when he found out who Jesus was, he informed the Jews, knowing full well that it would put Jesus' life in jeopardy. Rather than worshiping the one who had healed him, like the man did in chapter 9, the man born blind that was healed, this man was afraid of offending the religious leaders. He was in bondage to their damnable religious system. And let me just say, all man-made religions work the same way. They use fear and threats to keep people in submission to the system. Now, I want to just make a comment, because I want to just say something about the Sabbath at this point. God had given the Sabbath law back in Exodus chapter 20 when he gave the Ten Commandments. And he repeated it a number of times in Exodus and also in Deuteronomy. And as you study the Sabbath law, you learn that God gave the Sabbath as a time of rest, relaxation, enjoyment, and doing good. That was the purpose that God gave it. The Sabbath was made for man. And Jesus in the Gospels makes that point very clear, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You see, the religious leaders, they had it backwards. They looked at it as man was made for the Sabbath. But no, God gave the Sabbath to give man a time to rest, relax, to enjoy, and to do good. And the things that they were not to do on the Sabbath day was normal work, normal business, normal jobs. And in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 21, I want to read this verse from Jeremiah 17, 21. "Thus said the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem." And so here's a verse that talks about not bearing a burden on the Sabbath day. Now, this would be the verse that these Jews would have been pointing back to. But what this verse in Jeremiah is talking about, when you read the context and you read the next verse, and what you're going to see is that he's talking about commerce. He's talking about Jeremiah's warning them not to keep normal commerce. That people were bearing burdens into the city. They were carrying in goods to sell on the Sabbath day. They were carrying them out of their house to sell. And that is the context Jeremiah is talking about. Don't be carrying things out there to sell. Don't be working on the Sabbath day. But the Jewish leaders, they took this Sabbath stipulation in Jeremiah 17, 21 and 22, and they made it to where you could not carry any kind of burden on the Sabbath day, as far as to say that you could not even carry a handkerchief. I want you to think of how ridiculous it got. They said you could not even carry a handkerchief from one room to the next room on the Sabbath day, because that'd be carrying a burden and breaking the Sabbath law. However, if you took that handkerchief and you tied it around your neck and you walked with it around your neck to the next room, you were not carrying a burden, so you were not breaking the Sabbath. That's how ridiculous it got. They added all these laws and all these regulations, these binding commands to put a burden upon the people. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 23 and verse 4, if you'll look in the Bible, Matthew 23 and verse 4, he told the Pharisees, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." You see, that's what these Pharisees, these legalistic leaders of the people, they were abusing the people. They were putting upon them these heavy, heavy man-made rules and traditions that became such a heavy burden to people, grievous to be borne. And when the Sabbath was meant to be a time to rest, a time for man to enjoy. You know, if you look in Luke chapter 6, I want to look at a story as an example, another example in addition to what we're seeing here in John 5. And in Luke chapter 6, in verse 5, it says, "And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." And it says, "And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him." Now, these are the religious leaders. They're watching to see what Jesus is going to do on the Sabbath day, "whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said unto the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then Jesus said unto them," who's them? The scribes and the Pharisees. "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy it?" You know, they weren't answering. And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And they were filled with madness, communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. You know, ain't that amazing? They were so heartless, they were so blinded by their legalism that Jesus was doing something good. Remember, God said, "For I desire mercy rather than sacrifice." They were taking their laws and exalting them over God's laws. They were trying to obey the letter of the law while they were breaking the spirit of the law. The Sabbath day was for the good of man. And it was good to do good on the Sabbath day. It was good to show mercy on the Sabbath day. But they wanted him dead because he was doing this to break their man-made laws. And so the Sabbath was the focal point of their self-righteous, legalistic, religious system. And Jesus, in another passage in Mark, in chapter 2, if you would like to turn to Mark chapter 2, we have another story here. And I want to read a couple of verses here in Mark chapter 2. We're going to read in verse 27 and 28. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is the Lord also of the Sabbath. And you know, if you go on and you read on in the chapter 3, you see Mark's story of the very same story that we had just read over there in Luke chapter 6. And so there's stories here in the gospel that where Jesus confronted these Pharisees with their legalistic religious system and their man-made laws. And Jesus purposely, I want you to see here in John 5, he purposely brought about a Sabbath confrontation. He refused to observe their legalistic Sabbath regulations of rabbinic tradition. And we read in verse 16, back in John 5, I want you to look in verse 16. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And so what this led to is that when he confronted these legalistic Pharisees with their error, their erroneous teachings, they wanted to kill him. They began to persecute him. And in the coming chapters in John, what we're going to see is we're going to see this persecution and this opposition growing until we find these same men in John chapter 19, verse 15, crying out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" That's what it's going to lead to. It's going to lead to the crucifixion of Christ. But I want to make this clear. Jesus never broke the Sabbath as God intended the Jews to keep it. He came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. Jesus, he deliberately, however, violated human traditions that had grown up around the Sabbath law. Because many of the Jews had mistakenly believed that keeping these traditions would keep them right with God or make them right with God. But I want to just say this, no man can gain eternal life by keeping God's law because no one can keep it perfectly from the heart, which is God's requirement. James chapter 2 verse 10 tells us that if we offend in one point of the law, we're guilty of the whole law. And what James means there is that if you, maybe you don't commit murder, but if you covet your neighbor's wife, or you covet your neighbor's brand new pickup, or you covet their new house, you have just broken that 10th commandment in Exodus chapter 20. And so James says, if you have broken one, you're going to be guilty of all. And we've all broken at least one and are numerous of the laws. And I think about the first commandment, have no other gods before me. Many, many times we put other things, idols, we have other idols that we serve and we place above God. It could be sports, it could be hobbies, it could be our family, many different things. And we have all broken the law of God. The law was not given to save mankind. The law was given so that sin might be exceedingly sinful. That's what Romans 7 tells us. Paul wrote that the law was to give us the knowledge of sin. But these religious leaders, they were making and adding to these laws, their own laws, their man-made laws, and they were imposing heavy burdens on the people, and this offended Jesus. And Jesus confronted them with this error because they were enslaving so many people in this religious thought that I can, by my good works, I can get God's acceptance and gain eternal life when it's not possible at all. It blinded them to seeing the gospel of the grace of God. So this story, the great contrast that we see in this story is the powerlessness of religion versus the mighty power of Jesus Christ. That's what we see in this passage. Jesus demonstrates his mighty power. He raised up this man. He made this man whole physically, which we talked about last week, is a picture also of salvation. That we are disabled before God. We cannot walk before God. We're without strength. While we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. It's a picture of what Christ does when we're lost in sin and how he raises us up and gives us strength to walk before God. And so we see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see the powerlessness of man's religion here in this passage. You know, this religion of the Jews that they had, it never helped this man. Even that superstition about this angel coming into the water and stirring the water had not helped this man in 38 years. So the superstitions, the religion of the Jews could not help this man. But in one command, Jesus looked at this man. He said, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." This man was healed through the power of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, while religion is powerless to save us, Jesus is mighty to save. And this miracle illustrates Christ's power to save as contrasted to the powerlessness of religion to save anyone. And so I hope you understand that by going to church, by serving in the church, by being baptized, by taking communion, or any other religious activity can never forgive your sins and get you eternal life. It's only by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only by repenting of your sin and putting your faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross that will save you. And the moment you believe him, immediately, as we learned last week, you'll be made whole inside. And so if you're unsaved this morning, I want to urge you, stop all the self-effort. Stop all the self-effort. Come to the cross. Come in humility and embrace grace. The gift of salvation will be yours if you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And Christian, I wanted to say to you, may we proclaim the gospel of the grace of God far and wide, just like our Lord did. And may we have the strength and the courage to confront religious error and never build a bridge to error. Never look for common ground with those who preach a false gospel, a deadly and damning message. May we speak the truth with love as Jesus Christ did. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word once again today. We thank you for showing us the mighty power of Christ to save, that he is Lord. Over our disabilities, and he is Lord over the Sabbath. He has all authority in heaven and earth. He has authority to give eternal life to all that come to him and ask. He has authority to raise up the dead. He has authority to heal the sick. He has all the power and authority. Oh Lord, help us to see the mighty power of Christ today. Whatever the need might be, I pray, Lord, that those that are struggling, that they would come to Christ. Those that are carrying the weight of sin and conviction, Lord, that they would come to Christ and have forgiveness and be made whole by believing on Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help those of us who are saved. Lord, help us to be like our Savior. Help us to be offended with false gospels that enslave people, that lead people to the pit of hell. Lord, may we have compassion to reach out to them with the truth and speak the truth in love and compassion. Father, we thank you so much once again for this word that you've given us today. May you use it to accomplish your pleasure in each and every life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much once again for tuning in with us today, and I want to encourage you, if you trusted Christ today as your Savior, please, we would like to know so we can send you some help, literature to help you. And if you have questions about, more questions about being saved, you let us know. You can comment on our Facebook page or our YouTube channel, or you can send me an email at pastor@bbcdumas.com. We would love to hear from you. And if God spoke to your heart today, encourage you through His Word, through the singing today, shoot us a comment, and we'd be glad to hear from you. God bless you. Have a wonderful and blessed Lord's Day.